have you ever noticed in sci-fi movies that are set in the future, as opposed to those?
Is that right? Are like, sci-fi movies set in the future?
Well, as opposed to, like, say, a Jurassic Park, which is sci-fi but not futuristic, right? The people don't use cash. I mean, you don't see Captain Kirk pulling wads of bills out of his wallet to pay for repairs to his phaser, right? I mean, they always use, like, a swipey card, like the multi-pass in the movie The Fifth Element.
This is Nikki. I'm calling from Brookline.
That's not from the Fifth
that
Element.
That is not from the Fifth Element.
I don't know. The cash seems rare today. It's not so futuristic.
That's exactly the point. The point being that the future is now. We're at the point where actually we're seeing people using, not using cash, currency, we mean, and using some form of plastic. We're not talking about credit cards versus cash. We're talking about maybe using your debit card to pay for things. Where you miss, some people even swipe their smartphones instead. And in response, the U.S. Treasury is printing a lot less cash. For the first time in 30 years, they won't print any new $10 bills this year. And they've cut back on the production
of
paper.
They ran out of paper. It's an excuse.
Anyhow, joining us now, David Wolman, contributing editor at Wired Magazine and author of the upcoming book, The End of Money. And David, it looks like your book is beginning to come true. Did you expect it to be quite this soon?
I didn't really. I was quite bombarded with emails yesterday when this news arrived.
Yeah, I mean, one statistic that they quote in the New York Times article that struck me was almost 40% of taxi fares in New York are now paid with something other than cash. That's one of those things that people have always kept cash in their wallets for.
I know. There's this short list of purposes or payments that people keep in mind when they come to cash's defense, thinking, well, you know, we have to have cash forever because how are you going to tip someone?
Right.
Or how are you going to pay the babysitter? Or how are you going to go to the laundromat? And in the present-day economy, of course, they're right. But it's also a pretty short-sighted view to think that we can't find some other way to pay the babysitter or feed the meter.
And babysitters and laundromats have actually thought this through and have gotten there already.
Exactly. You know, I know one kid who says, well, you don't have to send me the money. You could just send my dad the money by PayPal, and he puts it in my account for me anyway. This is a local babysitter where I live.
Oh, yeah, I have a babysitter that takes things through PayPal as well because she just puts it through. She can check on her smartphone before she leaves my house to make sure that it's gotten to her account. I mean, what are the effects? Let's say that within the next, I don't know, what would you say, 10 to 20 years, we actually move to a largely currency-free society. What does that mean? I mean, does that make it harder for a black market to operate?
Well, that's one of the big arguments against it, for sure. You know, cash is the currency of crime, whether it's tax evasion or Mexican drug cartel. A couple of years ago, authorities busted down the door. They found more than $200 million in greenbacks there. So, right away, people are saying, well, if we stop using cash, we make at least the transactions a little harder for crooks. So that's one thing. But another thing that might happen is that people become a little less careful with their finances because it looks like our willingness to pay, our willingness to part with funds, increases when we use something like plastic versus cash.
We're speaking with David Wolman. He is the contributing editor at Wired and author of the upcoming book, The End of Money. And David, we put this question to our listeners. Here's one comment.
This is Nikki. I'm calling from Brookline, Massachusetts. I'm mostly a cash person. I use plastic online and for, you know, things that are big. But basically, I use cash. Keeps you out of trouble. Makes you realize that you're not rich yet.
And we want everyone to weigh on this. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE on whether you use it. This isn't an argument of credit versus cash. It's an argument of currency versus some other form of payment. And in this particular case, David, he could be using his debit card and still not be using credit. He could still realize he's not rich by pulling it straight out of his checking account.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not at all such a cut and dry thing that cash is easier because, in fact, cash has these tremendous costs. They're just so hidden. And cash has this wonderful history of evading criticism because it's money, right? It's what we all want. It's what we all want to feel under the pillow after we lost a tooth as a child. And yet, to manufacture all that money and to inspect it and move it and store it and secure it, that requires tremendous costs from banks and from governments, from the shopping mall ATM owners and on down the line. And even though you don't feel like you help subsidize that, you do in the form of facing higher prices.
Although this seems to me like a cultural fetish that's really moving away very, very rapidly. I mean, I don't necessarily have much confidence in cash. You know, at my local supermarket, anytime anybody tries to pass a 50, you know, they stop everything and look at it, assuming that it might be counterfeit. I mean, I think cash in many ways is much more suspicious than electronic transactions. And is it really true that you can't launder money electronically, that there's no possibility of a black market electronically? I find that hard to believe.
No, I think that the electronic currency crimes or digital money crimes are going to persist in the cashless future. Absolutely. But, you know, you can't really flip that on its head and say, well, this is why we shouldn't get rid of cash, because that other kind of crime will persist. You know, people will still be able to steal your identity through your credit card. Oh, well, and then we should keep $10 bills around. That probably doesn't make too much sense either.
Well, we're speaking to David Woolman, contributing editor at Wired Magazine, author of the upcoming book, The End of Money, which now sounds less prophetic than it did before, since it's beginning to happen. But here's another comment that we got from one of our listeners, David. And this person texted the word take to 69866. A listener in Brighton, Michigan says, he or she uses plastic. It's more convenient, and I can track spending easier. And that's one of the reasons I love debit cards, is I know exactly what I'm spending, when I'm spending, and what I'm spending it on. In fact, my whole family I can track. And that seems to me to be, this would be easier for the IRS as well.
It's true, and that's a question of, you know, do we want, is it anonymity that we want, like the Mexican drug cartels, or do we want privacy? And my vote is that if we have careful privacy controls in place, then we should be embracing these technologies that make our life smoother and might improve the economy and our household finances.
David, so now that you've gotten rid of money, what's your next book, At the End of Sex?
I'm not sure quite yet.
Well, David, so you're basically saying dollar bills, goodbye, and good riddance.
I am.
David Woolman, contributing editor at Wired, author of the upcoming book, The End of Money, Counterfeiters, Preachers, Techies, Dreamers, and the Coming Cashless Society. Thanks, David.
Thanks so much.
Tell us if you use currency folding money or if you use some other form to pay for what you buy. 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to thetakeaway.org.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.